Today's gospel reading is found in John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through this believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may go ahead and sit down. Let us pray. Dear God, open our ears that we may hear your word and to take these words as they are intended. In your name, amen. People sometimes say that the short sermons are the best, and I think you're probably hoping this is one of them. Almost 25 years, I managed my own financial services business. However, it wasn't until 1998, when I attended a Million Dollar Roundtable conference in Boston, that I heard a speaker that had a very large impact on my business. Once I adopted his teachings, my business took a whole new dimension. That is when I started using the choose to lose method. One way to maintain a positive outlook is by expecting the worst. One way to maintain or raise your standard of living is by lowering your expectations. If you take an attitude that when you walk through a door, what's the worst thing that can happen? And it does, you come out happy because you were right. When you walk through the door and something good happens, you feel great because you were successful. Either way, you win. You can't lose. But to adopt this method, you have to not be afraid to lose. You have to prepare to err. Prevail to fail. Have the panache to crash. The thunder to blunder. And the pluck to suck. Let me show you what I mean. Sunday afternoon, ABC television, Wide World of Sports. The theme music starts and we hear those infamous words. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. What do they say when they, what comes to mind, what's showing when they say the thrill of victory? Do any of you know?
Seahawks.
No. Well, I don't either. But when we hear the agony of feet, we see the young man crashing off the ski jump. My guess is he probably didn't win the competition that day. Here's another example. In the 1984 Olympics, same 70-meter ski jump. Who can tell me the name of one of the three medal winners? Well, there was a man from England. country not known for its ski jumpers, and he finished probably half a football field behind everybody else. Eddie the Eagle Edwards. While others soared, he came wildly down the jump. Were the winners famous? No, it was Eddie. He was the only one that ended up on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson 14 years later. Sometimes spectacular failure is better than victory. When I started using the Choose to Lose method, I threw away all the motivational books that were written by people like Stephen Covey. He wrote books like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Instead, I used books like 22 Things Mediocre People Do Fairly Regularly. Now, I'll give you an example. In the chapter on time management, Covey uses four ways to itemize your tasks: urgent, important, not urgent, important, urgent, not important, not urgent, not important. Well, with Choose to Lose, it's much simpler. First, things I was supposed to do yesterday, and I haven't even started yet. Things I should do, but it looks like the first of next week at the earliest. Things I told people I'd already done, but they won't find out for a day or two. And things I have already done. When you have a to-do list, nothing is more satisfying than marking off the things you've done. The problem with that is if you don't get them all done, you start out tomorrow behind. That is why I use a different kind of list. It's called the to-done list. Nothing goes on the list until it's done. Then I check it off. Everything gets done again today. No more guilt for me. However, I was not the first to use Choose to Lose. In the last week, we celebrated the greatest Choose to Lose occurrence of all time when God sacrificed his son for us. While Jesus died on the cross, he knew during his whole life how his life was going to end. That's what made it tolerable for him, knowing that eventually he would rise again and go home to be with his Father in heaven. Easter happened once, but it freed us for all time. All we have to do is remain true to him. Sometimes that is hard to do. Even his disciples betrayed him and denied knowing him. Where would we be without a great sacrifice? Are we worthy of that sacrifice? God thought so. We will always have problems in life. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Let his peace settle over you." To provide this radiant peace, Jesus died a criminal's death, so that we may know and feel his peace, and that peace would keep us close to him. Every day should be a little Easter for us, a reminder that God and Jesus of what they endured for us. As today's gospel states, even though we have not seen, may we hold fast to the belief that Jesus died for us. I'm reminded of the song, "Because He Lives." Because He lives, we have the blessed assurance that whatever we encounter here on earth will one day be forgotten and forgiven. There was a posting on social media this week that said, "I've read the final chapter. God wins." That victory can never be taken away. The award winners today did not choose to lose. They saw a cause and decided to do something about it. Think of all the people who will benefit from their perseverance, not only here at St. Mark, but locally and internationally. If you want to see these charities and others continue to strive and to make a difference, I encourage you to fill out one of these with your donation, that our efforts can continue. Again, all the awardees are to be congratulations, and may God continue to bless your ministries. Now, today I've been making fun of failure and laughing about losing. I do believe that our attitude toward failure determines how far we're going to succeed. Failure doesn't stop us. It's the fear of failure. We have to choose how we fight that fear. I happen to think that humor is the strongest weapon we have against failure. What's the worst possible thing that can happen? No matter what we think it is, I believe there's someone else can come up with something worse. The worst possible outcome is to face fear, turn around and walk away. What happens on the other side of any door that you walk through is irrelevant. The victory is walking through the door and taking action. So the next time you try something that you've never done before and you fall flat on your face, just get up, smile, and say, "I meant to do that." Amen.